Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Now, Airupa is rebranding itself as Rugby Players Ireland. Its goal is to make Ireland the best place in the world to play rugby. Josh van der Fleer is helping with the relaunch and he popped into the studio yesterday to have a chat.
All right, Josh, how you doing?
Good, yeah, doing well.
Would you do me a favour and say your full name for us properly on the radio for the first time for New South Christmas?
Joshua van der Fleer.
Yeah, it must have been nice for you when you were breaking through and I was like, van der Fleer, he must be fast.
Yeah, I know, my dad was fast, he was a winger, but so it worked well for him, but not so much for me.
I guess people have got to know you a little bit over the last while and you're kind of stepping out from being a player who is on the fringes of the squad to somebody that we now all kind of feel a bit of ownership over. Is that a difficult enough transition for you where suddenly people have expectations of you, you get recognised a bit wherever you go?
I suppose it's a bit of a change, yeah. Like when you first come in and you're first playing a couple of games, maybe a couple of games off the bench, or no one's really expecting much, but then once you're kind of selected or picked ahead of someone, then the pressure's on, I suppose, because you have to perform then to keep your place and to justify you being picked as well. So a bit more pressure, but it's all enjoyable.
And you're starting to get recognised by people. Is that like part of this that you kind of have to just deal with?
I would want to go back to Wesley or Wicklow somewhere, but not so much around the place. Wearing the red scrum cap would help as well. Not really. I don't walk around in my red scrum cap, believe it or not, outside of the rugby pitch. But so I suppose wearing that probably makes it a bit harder to recognise.
It's been a bit of a whirlwind 12 months for you when you consider kind of last season didn't go great for Leinster by anybody's definition of it. And then all of a sudden you're in the Ireland squad, you go to Chicago and here you are in the semi-finals of the Champions Cup. And what's that all down to? What's the difference for you personally over the last 12 months and for Leinster specifically?
For Leinster it's been... it's just been going well. We've got good momentum through the season. Everyone's enjoying their rugby. Stuart coming in at the start of the season has really helped. Stuart Lancaster has really helped us a lot as well. So everyone's just enjoying their rugby and training hard, and it's just translating onto the field.
Because when you I think I'm right in saying you got game time about five Champions Cup games last season. Is that right? Three starts and two off the bench.
Right. Yeah.
And the team was suffering record defeats home and away, and you must be thinking, Jesus, this isn't... I kind of expected it coming into a team, might win a few, we'd be in semi-finals. That's kind of what you grew up with, right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you got used to when I was younger watching the Leinster teams win and everything. So, it was a bit of a... I suppose I wouldn't say a shock, but it was tough going. It was obviously very fine margins. Remember the Bath, my first European game, the Bath away, and they got a kick in the last minute or something, last couple of minutes to win. So it was just the fine margins were incredible. That was the first time I noticed it. And then at international level as well, it's exactly the same. It's one decision, one mistake, and that could be the game.
So you go from there and having those doubts to a good performance against Francois Lowe, and then over the summer the Ireland stuff starts to happen for you, and it ends up in November where you're named in the travelling party to go to Chicago. When you're on that plane, you must be looking around going, geez, there's not 1,000 people on this plane. Maybe I might get some game time here.
Yeah, it was pretty surreal, the whole experience, really, because obviously named in the squad to travel, and you're kind of hoping maybe I'm in with a shot, but there's also some very good players here. They've enough to cover the back row, so you're trying to kind of doing all this maths in your head, what team could he go for, that kind of thing. And then to be named on the bench and then to come on pretty early as well was pretty incredible.
Yeah, what do you remember about coming on?
I remember being incredibly pumped up just watching. Normally on the bench I'd be quite calm, whereas if you're watching it from the sideline or watching on TV you get real pumped up. But I was raring to go, and then getting on I was pretty nervous, and I just remember thinking, I was like, this is arguably the best team of all time, some people would say, and you're playing against them now. And it was pretty I suppose it was scary at the time, and then just got a tackle in to the start, and then just kind of forgot who you were playing, and just it was just a normal game then.
Yeah, because you were a man possessed that day. I think you finished second or third in the tackles and rooks hit, despite the fact you'd played like 20 minutes less than everybody else.
Yeah, it was managed to get involved a good bit. I think I had one carry though, so that's probably why I wasn't doing much in attack. But yeah, it was good to get a few involvements.
What do you learn from a game like that?
Hey, you learn a huge amount. I think mostly you get confidence from it. And I remember looking at the likes of Artie Sevilla and Sam Kane, having played against them, and remember just a few things Sam Kane did, like the way he counter-rucked, the way he tackled, tried to slow down the ball. And I remember having a chat with Joe about it and just saying maybe that's something I could bring in. That was pretty good what he did. And
yeah,
he was like, yeah, that's why he's there. So
you literally in the middle of the game going, ooh, that's pretty interesting, I haven't seen that before.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? Yeah.
Well, I'd seen it before, but I was just...
Up close.
It was the way he counter-rucked, but everyone does it. Well, a lot of players do it, but he was doing it every single time, and it was just so... He wasn't necessarily disrupting the ball, but it was just very, very irritating to play against.
Yeah.
And you'd never notice that on TV. It was just the fact that I was coming to a ruck, and then there he is again, trying to disrupt the ruck, and you have to clear him out again. And it was just something that, I suppose, was frustrating playing against someone, something I could probably bring into my game. I remember thinking that.
Joe Schmidt obviously trusts you, because there's a lot of players who kind of come into the squad and are like... They're there for quite a period of time before they're doing enough of the things that he says, okay, you can go now. I you've seen what I need and what the responsibilities are. But you get in pretty quick, 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'd been in training a couple times when I was in the academy in Leinster. Just they needed extra players, and I'd been in a couple of the Irish trainings before, and then I was there in the academy when Joe was there as well. So I knew I had an idea of what he expects, but it was probably a big leap of faith from his perspective to put me in. I think it helped the position we were in the Six Nations at the time, that I think we couldn't win it. I can't remember exactly, but we'd lost a couple of games, and it would be very, very unlikely for us to be able to win it. So maybe he was just giving me a go then. I'm not sure. It's hard to know.
Yeah. Josh, talk to us about being a seven, because the type of seven you are is, it seems anyway, you're going to be a seven for the rest of your life. And there are a bunch of other sevens who we think could actually also play six or maybe play eight. I know you played a tiny bit of eight before as well. But is it fair to say you're a proper open side flanker?
I hope so. Yeah. That's what I try to do anyway. Yeah. I'd play anywhere I'm picked. If I'm picked at 10, then happy days. But if I prefer playing seven, that's my preferred position. But if I'm told to play six or play eight, then happy days, I'd be delighted to play.
Yeah.
But seven's my preferred position.
When did you decide that, or when was that? Like, was that as a kid, 15, 16? Is it as young as that, where you're like, actually, I've got the game for this?
Well, I was... under 14, just started under 15 season, so my third year, I was in third year in school, and I was playing scrum half as I had done for about 6 years before that, and then I kept getting in too many rucks, so, and there was no one to pass the ball, and that was happening week after week. So the coach kind of said, Josh, you're getting in too many rucks, I think we're going to move you to flanker. So then I moved to seven, played seven then until start of fifth year in school. And then they moved me to eight for fifth and sixth year. And then once I came out of school, I got picked for the Leinster under-19s. And there was a guy called Luke Satchwell, used to play eight. He's a really good player. So they said, there's no space for him to play eight. So we'll try him in at seven. And then just from then on...
You've been at seven.
Yeah.
Who's type of seven? Who are you ripping off ideas, and who are you watching? What in your...
Would have watched a good bit of Richie McCaw, obviously. I try and take a bit from different people, so I'd say the likes of Warburton or Pocock would be better poachers maybe than McCaw, but in terms of intelligent rugby playing and how to play the seven position perfectly is Richie McCaw. So I'd obviously watched him a lot, used to download videos onto my laptop or try get record any videos I could get of Richie McCaw playing, and and then looking at other lads. So when I came into the academy, I was looking at Shane Jennings and having a good few chats with him, and he really helped me out as well. So tried to take ideas from different places.
Yeah, and so what's the next stage then? How do you continue to get better? Because obviously, you know, you're still hopefully a number of years away from your absolute peak.
I hope so, yeah. I think just every day trying to see where you can improve and coming to the coaches. I mean, it helps a lot having Stuart Lancaster, who used to play seven, having him in. He's given me a few really good ideas and helping me a lot with improving my game.
What kind of stuff is it about the breakdown? Is it about position? Is it about counter-rooking or stealing the ball or actually running lines?
Yeah, a lot of it was running lines. Just small things like... running lines, as I said, breakdown work, getting quicker to the breakdown, how to kind of beat your opposite number, stop him getting... Part of it is stopping the opposite back row from getting turnovers and that kind of thing. So a lot of that. And then just general skills that he would say he'd want me to work on to make me a better seven.
Are they ball skills or is that tackling skills or is it?
It's a bit of both. So one of the skills you were saying that sevens back in his day used to do was if someone carried in front of them, they'd rip the ball off them and then pop it off to someone else. So they kind of play a bit of a link man. And that was something he said I could try add to my game. So that's one specific thing.
It's kind of offloading a bit more.
Exactly,
well, particularly in a turnover situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because he's
just
big on...
keeping the ball moving and probably being that link between the ball carrier and then trying to get the ball back out to the backs as well.
Yeah, he's big on the whole point of defence being to be able to attack off it. So it's not just to get the ball back and sit there and go, we've got the ball now. It's like, get the ball and go quickly.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it would be quite similar to, the most obvious team for it are New Zealand. If they make a turnover, they score off most of them, which is pretty incredible. So, it's about attacking when you get turnovers and instead of maybe just picking and going, which is something I might have done a bit too much of before.
Yeah. What are your own measurements in a game? Like, what when you come off a game, are you looking immediately for the stats to go, how did I do? Or do you have a sense of, actually, that was a good game? You know, there are intangibles or immeasurables where you're like, regardless of whether or not, I'm going to look at the stats in a moment, but I know I've had a good game.
Yeah, I mean, I used to... A couple of years ago, I would have been a lot more, I made 20 tackles, so that was a good game. Whereas now, I'd be a bit more looking at the type of game. So some games, we have all the ball, and then there is no tackles to be made, but yet I've made no carries, so that's not good. Whereas there's other games where we're defending for the whole thing, and 15 tackles maybe isn't a lot of tackles.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just looking at my performance and looking at the small little details. Obviously it's nice to get good stats, maybe to get a try, a few carries, a load of tackles, but most of the time it's looking at the opportunities that were there. So I'd be very disappointed now if there was maybe four or five turnover opportunities where I could have poached the ball and I let them all slip. I'd probably be pretty disappointed after that game.
Are you talking to somebody about that? Is that a conversation with somebody else where you're actually sitting down doing that? Or is that just yourself? You're kind of looking back at it and going, there, I could have done that. What's that process?
It's a bit of both. So we do reviews of games, obviously, and there'll be a team review and then obviously individual review where you can come at any stage, go up to the coaches and say, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
How could I improve that? So I've been doing a lot of work at the breakdown with Hugh Hogan, who works with he's coach of the Leinster A team, and he's been helping me a lot with my breakdown. So he'd be really good at looking at my game and saying, listen, I think you could have done this better, or you missed a couple of opportunities here, or that was good, or that kind of thing.
Yeah. It strikes me that it must be pretty good crack at the moment. There's a bunch of guys in their early 20s who are playing really good rugby and just having the time of their lives.
Yeah, no, it's great fun. Everett, don't count out the older lads as well. There's a few of them are enjoying themselves as well. But it's really fun. I've always absolutely loved it in Leinster. And
even last year, like, 'cause it can't have been that much fun when you were...
Last year, obviously, it's not as fun when you're losing, but... still great bunch of lads, and there's no one really who wouldn't get on with each other, so it's just a great fun environment to be in at the moment.
And these next few weeks are like the huge weeks where the weather starts to get good, the crowds are huge, it's Connacht away, and then it's a Champions Cup semi-final.
Yeah, massive games, but we just have to, I mean, if you look at the run-in, we have a very tough run-in of games, and you just have to take each week as it comes, try to perform as well as you can each game, because if you find yourself thinking this weekend, thinking towards the semi-final, then you could just end up being thumped in the sports ground by 20, 30 points. So that's just the way it goes. So we've got to be really focused. We've found it tough in the sports ground the last few years, so... We'll be gunning for a good performance.
Yeah, you kind of owe them one from the final last year as well. Are you injury free at the moment?
I am, all good, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the competition for back row places is pretty intense.
It is, very intense, always is. I think there's eight or so international back rows so in Leinster, so it's you just have to be playing at your best the whole time, and if you have a bad game, then you know you might be sitting on the sidelines for a couple of weeks. That's just the way it is. So it's really good for the environment, really, that everyone knows they have to be performing at their best, they have to be training at their best if they want to get picked.
Yeah. Well, listen, Josh van der Fleer, thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.